Would you give us some specs on the airplane? Like, what speed do you cruise at? What's the top speed? The horsepower, the fuel burns. Some specifications. Appreciate it.
Well, the aircraft has a service ceiling of 42,000 feet. It does have oxygen on board, and this aircraft is equipped with oxygen. So I personally have locked this in low blow, so I don't have the high blower supercharger. So it won't make it to 42,000. I'll probably top out at 28 or 30, which I don't plan to go there. Fuel burns, typically when I was breaking in the engine, I wanted a little extra fuel. So I was burning about 100 gallons an hour. Since that time, I've been able to reduce it back to about 85 gallons an hour, which makes it much more reasonable. But still, that's unreasonable in somebody's books. But it's interesting when you read the POH, the Pilot Operating Handbook, it goes gallons per hour, you know, GPH and this configuration, and it runs all the way up to 278 gallons per hour, and then it's converted to gallons per minute. And that's when I realized I don't want to be in that section. It has, in the military power, this aircraft could probably fly about 40 to 45 minutes at full mil power, and it would exhaust a full 234 gallons on board.
It's a thirsty mother.
It's an inch and a half fuel line, so it's thirsty.
You know, during the war, I believe it was Lindbergh went out to the Pacific. Most people didn't even know that he was there. He didn't want anybody to know he was there. But he did tests on it to show that they could get a whole lot more range by using less RPM and more throttle. And if you fly light airplanes, they'll tell you don't over boost it. Don't if you have 15 inches of 1500 RPM, you can't go over 15 inches of manifold pressure. He proved that that's a myth. And you can what RPM do you cut
in cruise?
Yeah.
Typically, the numbers are 2,000 RPM and 30 inches is a typical cruise setting.
But you can fly it at 1,600 RPM.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's you can get a lot more out of it. It's not as fast, and you have to be careful if you have to add the power. You don't want to overboost it.
And just to let you know, in this configuration with the drop tank and the onboard fuel, I have about 900 nautical mile range. And then I could add an additional drop tank, which I have at home, and that would increase the range to more than my bladder can stand.
Yeah, do you have a relief tube?
No, I didn't hook it up. So,
oh, goodness.
You know, you drink. Well, we're not going there.
I can't believe that. That's the most important part of an airplane is the relief tube.
Typically, after 4 hours, I'm ready to come down. And this equates to about 4 hours range. The way it's set up right here.
Kyle, where'd Kyle go?
If the airplane's clean without the drop tank, okay, how fast can you go at full military power?
Well, that's a good question. I typically don't run full military power, but in a high power setting, in an air show environment, very easily 350 knots, upwards of 375 knots. Its red line is 408 knots. So I'm still within the range of the aircraft, and in my book, that's scooting. And I have another set of wings being worked on. They'll have 5-inch HVR rockets, and typically I will test them and proof them about 375 knots to make sure they're airworthy. So, but it's a very fast airplane, especially going downhill.
There have been a few of these raced in the air races. This model with the R2800, it's great going around the sticks. It's an airplane that flies. You don't overload it wing very often, but it won't, you know, it under 400 on the pylons. Next question.
Yes, sir. Okay, there was Chance Vault and Goodyear Corsair made. What manufacturer was this one?
This particular aircraft was manufactured by Chance Vought Aircraft Corporation, 1945, and it's an F4U-4.
Okay, I'm over here on your side, over here to the right.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I was looking.
I've been to CAF down there and everything like that, and I got a picture on Facebook of me sitting in a Mustang. but I also have the caption. I'd much rather be in a Corsair.
Hey, there are, I'm biased too.
when was the last Corsair built?
1954.
Yeah, it was in continuous production for over 10 years, which is unheard of for a class fighter. It really is. Do you have question?
One more question. Is it true, of course, I've done a lot of research now.
Speak pilots, into the mic, please.
More pilots got killed learning to fly the Corsair than actual combat in one.
I don't know.
I really wouldn't know that. But a lot of accidents did happen in the pilot training
program. And what was it, a 12-to-1 kill ratio on the Corsair?
Yeah, when it got into combat, it was awesome.
Yeah. And I'm not sure the exact numbers.
Toward the end of the war, the so-called Great Marianas Turkey Shoot, you know, the ratio of U.S. planes shot down to Japanese planes shot down was absolutely incredible. Uh-huh. That was probably the best time anybody ever had.
Thank you, guys.
I have to mention one thing. There are other airplanes. Most fighters were built to fight and to kill people, and that's what they do best. And this is one of the best. It did mostly low-level bombing, napalm and things like that in Korea, I believe.
Typically, the loads on this aircraft would be five-inch HVARs, and there would be four in each wing. Those are high-velocity rockets, and the configuration would be a 500-pounder or a 1,000-pound Tiny Tim. So they would come in and let go the bomb on their runs. They were typically strafing runs, tanks, power plants, trains, things like this, taking out structure.
Doesn't have a bomb site, does it?
It doesn't have a bomb site. It has a gun site, but not a bomb site.
Yeah, it has a gun site, but no bomb site. Yes.
All right, when the world came to an end, fall of 45, airplane contracts were just being shut down, canceled, and done away with. The pipeline was being closed, and yet these stayed. Didn't they become overseas restocking airframes for like France, England, Italy when they started back up?
All of the above. The last place that we got them was out of Central America. And that's where this one came from. The Honduran Air Force was flying them until 1979 was when the Hondurans and the Salvadorians didn't much like each other and they had the banana war. I don't know whether they were fighting over bananas or with bananas, but nevertheless, they both were flying Corsairs. I don't know how you knew which one to shoot at, but they were very active.
And it's also very interesting. This aircraft was stricken from the U.S. Navy records in 1956, mothballed, and then it was rebuilt and sent to Honduras to fight in the soccer war, as they call it, down in Honduras and El Salvador. Then it was removed in 1977, I believe, from Honduras and brought back to the United States. So this actually was Korean veteran, soccer war veteran, and then made it back to the U.S.
Kyle?
I was just going to say, in the Marianas Turkey Shoot in 1944, there were only three Corsairs in that battle, and they were night fighters.
Mostly Hellcats,
but there were no Corsairs in that, with the exception of three Corsairs off the Enterprise. I was one of them.
Which model were you flying?
F4U2s.
Okay.
They were...
Birdcage canopy?
I'm sorry?
Birdcage canopy?
Yes. Yeah.
Birdcage canopy has multiple bars and so forth in it, so you can't see it well. I just want to thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And that brings me to one of my last points. Tomorrow, don't forget, at 2:30, it's going to be a Veterans March. If you are a veteran and you're not going to be here tomorrow, go by, and you sign up, and they'll give you one of these little pins to recognize your service. All veterans are valuable. We appreciate it. Anything else that anybody wants to bring up?
Oh, one more, Bill.
Got an item here. Someone brought up about a bomb site on the aircraft, and I think many people don't realize that this type of aircraft uses a gun sight to bomb. There's no bomb sight. I've dive bombed with the Sky Raider. It's important that you have the correct dive angle, the correct speed, and that you keep the needle ball centered. If any of that is out a little bit, the bomb you drop is going to be way off target. So there's no bomb sight. It's the gun sight that you use.
Right, that's what we were talking about. When did you fly Sky Raiders? 50s? What ship? Oh, okay. A lot of Sky Raiders, the VA-55 flew Sky Raiders in Korea. I know that. Off the Boxer, I believe. That's where mine came from, off the Boxer.
This also served on the USS Boxer.
Oh, did you?
On the Boxer and the Valley Forge, the aircraft.
Oh, great. Any other questions? Anything that we've left out? Yes.
Due to the placement of the cockpit, Navy was reluctant to field this on an aircraft carrier. They gave it to the Marine Corps and the land-based Navy units. When did they start flying them off of aircraft carriers?
When they realized they were wrong. It actually, a lot of people ask, why does it have the inverted gull wings? The answer to that is as varied as the person you ask. Big prop. By doing that, it keeps the gear a little bit shorter. If you look at a Bearcat, it has a long spindly gear, and this thing is a lot sturdier. But the best aerodynamics are achieved when the wing goes into the fuselage at exactly perpendicular. You have less drag if it's that way. If you put it down low, then you increase your drag. So this was had a lot of reasons that everything came together. I think somebody just liked the looks of it. I do. I think it's a beautiful airplane. This one in particular is beautiful. I want to thank you very much for you and your family for bringing the airplane to Oshkosh and sharing it with us. Wait. We got one more question.
The question I have is, I've read that in Korea, the Koreans call this type of aircraft the Whistling Death. Is
right.
That correct?
Yes. Japanese actually coined the term. It does make a whistling noise when it goes up fast with external stores. It doesn't do it when it's clean. Yeah, oil cooler does it. Anybody else that has a burning question to ask? Okay.
Was there ever a two-seat version built?
Legally, for the military, the answer is no. There have been people who've been ferried piggyback or in the lap of somebody flying the airplane. I mean, in combat, you do what you have to do, and there have been rescues carried out that did it that way. So and there's some Corsairs that have had a second seat put back there. You have to change a lot of the airframe to do that because the bulletproof armor is immediately aft. The headrest is on the bulletproof armor, and so, you know, it's kind of, if somebody gets back there, they're going to be there. If you crash the airplane, they're just going to be part of the crash. Anything else? Where? Oh, there we are. Yes. Kyle, just run faster.
How many are left in existence, like that are still flying after the wars?
I don't have the answer. There are probably 15 now, approximately.
It's in the teens, and there are various states. Some are flyable. There's a lot of restorations going on currently. And so it's the number varies. As the restorations are completed, that's one more flyable.
It brings up a point that I'd like to cover, and that is that a lot of people say you shouldn't fly these airplanes at air shows, that they're too valuable. The fact is that it's flying them and showing them off and racing them that's led people to pull junk, little pieces of metal out and make an airplane out of it. And we have more Corsairs flying today than we did 30 years ago as far as the civilians are concerned. And so we're very proud, as the EA Warbirds of America, we're proud of the fact that we work hard to keep them flying. And we appreciate your help in coming. If I don't see any other hands, and I don't because I'm closing my eyes, we're gonna I'll meet you in the merchandise thing and sell you something. So come on over. Thank you.